Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. Today is Monday, August 19th. We begin today with a very happy birthday wish to a special someone. More on that at the end of this episode. This episode is sponsored by Influx Data, the creators of InfluxDB. InfluxDB is like Amazon TimeStream, except it's good and it has customers. In addition to being generally available for sale, it's also the de facto time series database you probably use if you need a time series database. They've got a few other products available as open source, as well as managed service offerings. Check them out at influxdata.com. Now, let's see what AWS has for us last week. Alexa for Business customers can now manage how their data improves Amazon services, which is a very polite way of saying they can now turn off it reporting back to Amazon. For some unknown reason, some customers have problems with a microphone in their strategy sessions reporting back to Amazon. They must have strange concerns. Amazon Athena now supports querying data from Amazon S3 requester pays buckets. For those who aren't aware of that fun feature, it means that whoever makes a request against that bucket pays for the request. This sets the glorious groundwork for a hilarious prank, where people write blog posts that convince the reader to learn Athena, but accidentally incur $50,000 in S3 charges when they do it. Amazon EC2 now supports diagnostic interrupts, which are a form of kernel panic. This came from an original question of, this is terrible, some of our EC2 instances are kernel panicking, what do we do? The obvious answer, call it a feature. Amazon Elasticsearch Service announces support for Elasticsearch versions 6.8 and 7.1. Note that even Amazon's managed Elasticsearch service is still a little leery about Amazon's own open distro for Elasticsearch. FSx, both for Lustre and for Windows File Server, is now available in Stockholm. Finally, shared file systems, or file sharing, comes to Sweden. Amazon Kinesis Data Analytics announces full Unicode support. It's amazing how many bugs you can inspire AWS to fix if all of your variables, resource names, column names, and security group identifiers are simply emoji. Amazon Kinesis Data Streams changes license for its producer library to the Apache license version 2. I'm certain that Twitter is incredibly up in arms about this, as would all of the open source people, but frankly, I have a business to run. Amazon Managed Blockchain now supports AWS CloudFormation. This is simply nice to have, since the folks who care about process, well-run infrastructures, and repeatable provisioning almost certainly aren't spending their time screwing around with blockchain. Amazon Neptune is now available in the AWS GovCloud West region, but that would be way more impressive if the planet Neptune were available in the AWS GovCloud West region. Amazon RDS now supports Oracle Database 18c. Amazon customers support kicking Oracle to the curb as fast as humanly possible. Speaking of things you don't want to kick to the curb as fast as humanly possible, I want to tell you today about Chaos Search. They give you an Elasticsearch-compatible API with unlimited data retention and none of the slap and tickle with the license drama, because that data lives in your own S3 bucket. You don't have to load it into a database and then pay for instances to run that database for you. Management simply goes away. Also cuts your Elasticsearch infrastructure cost by roughly 80% on average, and without the terrible parts of having to manage Elasticsearch. They're not just a sponsor, they're a vendor that I adore and recommend. Check them out at chaossearch.io, and my thanks to them for supporting this podcast. Amazon SageMaker GroundTruth extends automated data labeling support to the semantic segmentation labeling workflow, expands availability to 6 additional AWS regions, and includes a bunch of words that make no sense because it's machine learning and no one knows what the hell lives in that space, so anything you say sounds vaguely plausible. Amazon Recognition improves face analysis. We don't sell recognition to ICE, states Amazon unequivocally. Instead of being taken as a comforting statement, apparently AWS takes that as a sales challenge and released improved age range detection and fear detection in an effort to tempt them to become customers. You might argue that this release commentary isn't funny, and you would be correct. It really, really isn't funny. Is this who we are? Introducing the APN Container Navigate track. Not only do you not know what that is, now with the Navigate track, you also don't know how to find it. AWS App Mesh now supports routing based on HTTP headers and specifying route priorities. I was under the impression that it already did that, because without that, what's the point of an App Mesh in the first place, which shows how little I know. AWS Batch is now available in the Middle East Bahrain region, which is touted as a positive rather than the honest truth of they missed the launch window and now have to play catch-up. AWS Code Build adds support for Amazon Linux 2. It took over a year to convince the general manager of AWS Code Build that Amazon Linux 2 wasn't a prank, like that time that I inadvertently convinced him that Low-Flying Hawk, the building, was named after a bird and a window incident. AWS Elemental Media Tailor server-side ad insertion is now available in the Frankfurt region. Ad insertion dynamically is always one of those somewhat creepy things. If you were listening to this podcast and I dynamically inserted ads based upon where you are or what profile I might have collected on you, that wouldn't be awesome from your perspective. It wouldn't have my dulcet radio voice, and it would just be more than a little bit creepy. So while I appreciate that that might be useful for some use cases, I'm glad that mine isn't one of them. A price cut to AWS IoT Core and AWS IoT Device Management in the Asia-Pacific regions. Okay, that's not the China region, so it's not run by a different company. This does count as a price cut. But look around your office and tell me how many IoT devices you're having AWS services manage for you. And then wonder exactly how many people this actually impacts. AWS RoboMaker now supports configurable timeout and over-the-air deployment, which I object to strenuously. From my perspective, we give up on the update when I say we give up on the update, and you shouldn't be able to address that. Also in RoboMaker news, it now supports log-based simulation, event-driven simulation termination, and simulation event tagging. This all sounds like a prelude to Judgment Day. AWS Site-to-Site VPN now supports certificate authentication, which is awesome, and requires you to manage certificate rotation, which is less than awesome. Ask anyone who suddenly finds themselves locked out unexpectedly just after midnight on any random Tuesday, and you'll start to understand why. AWS Step Functions have added support for nested workflows, and so the step function invokes itself. The Storage Gateway now supports tag on create and tag-based access controls, meaning everything you thought you knew about access controls is now wrong. AWS Support API, which is a thing, is now available in GovCloud. Prior to this release, getting support in GovCloud simply required lobbying your congressperson. Amazon CloudFront has announced a new edge location in Israel, making it their first infrastructure location in the entire country. The one thing I always noticed when I was there, other than the food was delicious and people were screaming at me an awful lot, was that bandwidth to the outside world was slightly constrained. It doesn't have a whole lot of fiber landing, so a CloudFront edge location there will work wonders. Someday there might even be a region there, and then I can run an EC2 instance for those trips. Why I would do that, I don't know. We're serverless now, haven't you heard? Amazon announced their new AWS co-branding guide, also known as the 7 things you can't say at reInvent. When you start telling people that they can't talk about multi-cloud, hybrid cloud, other cloud providers, imply the cloud is expensive, imply the cloud is insecure, it starts people wondering what they can say. See AWS Marketing for details. There's a new AWS training course available to teach APN partners to better help their customers as well. Also, without using the words multi-cloud, hybrid cloud, on-premises, competitor logos, or implying the cloud is insecure or too expensive. There's a new capacity-optimized allocation strategy for provisioning spot instances, which makes it a little less fun for the spot team watching people's workloads come crashing to the floor randomly. And that's all that happened last week in the world of AWS. Our thanks to our sponsors, Influx and Chaos Search. And now, a special message to that special someone.
The Duckbill Group, in coordination with Bud Light, presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today, on your 75th birthday, we salute you, Larry Ellison.
Larry goddamn Ellison!
Any megalomaniacal jackass can start a law firm, but it takes real talent for that law firm to also make databases.
Transactional logs and attorneys.
Divorced irreconcilably from reality along with 4 ex-wives, you constantly make statements bearing zero relation to reality.
Borderline presidential.
Business ethics? That's for losers.
Sue the goddamn government.
And even though the cloud is kicking your ass so hard you can taste its shoe leather, you're still convinced you're going to nail this.
Hunt the homeless for sport on your island.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Larry Ellison. Because at this point, a drunken tumble down the stairs is the most graceful exit option you've got.
The preceding jingle is a parody, and the Duckbill Group does not have an existing relationship with Anheuser-Busch InBev. Although interested individuals in the marketing department are invited to reach out, the Duckbill Group makes no claims with respect to any of the following fictitious statements. 1. That Larry Ellison hunts the homeless for sport. 2. That Larry Ellison will not potentially reconcile with reality or any of his ex-wives. 3. That Larry Ellison has any taste for anything whatsoever, including but not limited to shoe leather. The Duckbill Group has no earthly idea what the hell Larry Ellison does on his private island, and frankly, we're much happier keeping it that way. In no way, shape, or form does the Duckbill Group assert that Larry Ellison is engaging in the unauthorized practice of law in violation of California Business Professions Code 6126. While the Duckbill Group does not take a public position with respect to actively wishing death upon Larry Ellison, or indeed anyone at all for their business practices. Statistical analysis conducted by similar leading consulting organizations have established that a series of pratfalls involving rakes, bear traps, and literal pies in the face would be objectively hilarious.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.